So John 3, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, we know that Jesus said to him that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And he explained to Nicodemus later on what that looked like as he was speaking with him and those who were there. Nicodemus being a religious man and coming from under the old covenant and serving God and doing all the right things and following those that he thought were esteemed to be godly men, saw Jesus and saw something that attracted him. He even saw him do signs and wonders, and he thought, this man has the witness of the power of God, and he must be from God. Seemed to have a desire to see, saw something, he came to it. And it was a light. And we know from the Gospel of John in chapter 1 that it says that in him was light, and he was the light that enlightens every man. He came that those who would receive him and believe in him would become sons of God. But those who would not receive him and his message and his word, they would not come to know him. They would be rejected. And so Nicodemus now is coming to this point when he is listening to Jesus and his words are difficult to understand. Words about being born again, not understanding what he's meaning. And then Jesus saying to him from verse 16 of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." It's believing in Jesus that brings a life. And I'm sure Nicodemus, read the scriptures and had the word in the sense of the letter. But now the word of God was manifested, and he was speaking things that would judge the thoughts and the intents and the motives. And that's what it says the word of God does. The word of God pierces between soul and spirit. It judges thoughts and intents. And he was coming to judge the thoughts and intents even of Nicodemus and those there. And he said that God sent his Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish. And it says in verse 17, God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. That was not the intention of sending the Son. But that the world should be saved through him. The purpose of Jesus coming was that people could be saved. And yet at the very same time, God knew very well that by sending Jesus Christ into the world, that judgment would come. You remember when Jesus said, "Now judgment has come. Now the time has come for the world to be judged," when he spoke these things later in the Gospel of John. So he knew that when he would go to the cross and the work would be finished and he would raise up, that there would be a judgment also, because he said, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that the darkness may not overtake you." And so when Jesus comes and he speaks to us and his word shines in our hearts, we have a decision to make. We have an opportunity to accept the light, to believe in the light. And that's why he came, because in believing in the light, we can be freed from our sins. We can believe the truth. Because when we're in darkness, it's like we're blinded. And he came to open the blind eyes. He came to set the captives free. And it's in believing, it's in accepting the truth that where he can begin to work in our heart and bring salvation. It's the light that shines in us. It's in believing that. We don't know how he does it. We have to confess. There's a picking up of our cross, but we have to acknowledge the sin. We have to come to the light. But it's when we resist that judgment does come. And this is what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. He says, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to come to the light, Nicodemus. You can't stay in the darkness and pretend everything is all good. He said, I didn't come to judge the world, but that the world should be saved. He said, verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged. This is like, how does this apply to me and you? It's like, we see something and we think, I believe this. This is right. This is truth. But then sometimes we're deceived in areas. Sometimes we don't see clearly. Sometimes we're blinded because of our flesh and because of sin or because of pride or stubbornness. And when Jesus comes, he speaks truth. And then now we have to make a decision. Is that true? And so when we believe in Jesus, we're saying it doesn't matter what all that I've learned, all that, if Jesus speaks to me, I want to believe his word. And that sometimes means we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, is this true about myself? Is this true? I have to humble myself. That's why it's, you know, people can see things from the outside about us, but it's always hard for us to see maybe the things that others can see. That's where when the light shines in, we have to say, Lord, is it true about me? So he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is what it looks like. This is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. That is pride. When we choose to love sin, or we choose to love our own way, we don't want to hear the truth because we don't want to humble ourselves. There's a suffering there. That there is the entering into the kingdom of heaven. That there is the born again process. When we love the truth rather than darkness, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves and we repent. They love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That is the judgment. That's not why he came, but that is the end result of those who don't want to believe and receive the light. Is when we hate the light, it says, it's condemnation for us. He wants to expose. Exposing is the victory in being born again. It's when he exposes. That's how repentance came, exposing sin. But if we practice the truth, that is how we come to light. When he speaks the truth, then we say, Lord, I want to come to the light. I want to practice what I know is to be true. That's part of believing, is putting it into practice. If we really believe something, we desire, we seek it. That's coming to the light. If we practice the truth, we come to the light, that our deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. Then people can see, you know, that we're truly born again, because the fruit of it is manifest, that we've come to Jesus Christ. It's not of ourselves. It's not of any man. It's of Jesus Christ. It's believing in Jesus. And that brings the life. When it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That was why Jesus came. So I read these scriptures and I say, well, we know Jesus didn't come to judge the world. But yet we see there is a judgment. And this takes me to John in chapter 9. And I'll read the end of this, a verse at the end of the chapter, and then we can go to the beginning. But John in chapter 9, verse 39, this is what Jesus said. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Now, he spoke these things when the Pharisees were there listening to him. This was after he had healed the blind man. So we see two verses that seem to be totally opposite from one another, yet we can understand them in the light of the gospel. That in John 3, he said, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Yet, in John 9, 39, he says, for judgment I came into this world. This is the very opposite thing. That wasn't his intent, but that's what he knew would happen. When he came, he knew that there would be a division of light and darkness. He knew that there would be those who would say, I'm blind. And I need Jesus Christ. I need, Lord, help me. Maybe I don't have all the answers. Maybe I could be wrong. And Jesus could come and say, I'm going to give you light. The ones who do not see, they could see. Their eyes could be open. But it's those who say they see. Those who see, who in their own minds say they know what's right. They know the answer. They have the answer. Those are the ones Jesus says, those will become blind. Because he wants to shine the light in our hearts. And it's our hardness of heart that won't allow him to change us. And that's when we get stuck and we struggle in sin and we don't move forward. We get discouraged because we don't let that light shine into our hearts. And it's a continual thing because he's always shining in our hearts, the areas to break us and cause us to come to him. So this is a point when Jesus really kind of rebuked those Pharisees standing there. And he said, this is why I came. I came that you could humble yourself and say, I don't see. And there was an example here that we see. If we go back to the beginning, we see how this all unfolded. When in John 9 verse 1, there was a man that was born blind. And it seemed as though it'd be easy to judge such a person. You know, he was cursed, right? The curse of God was on him. Under the old covenant, we could say that this man had a curse on him. But it says he passed by and he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? It's, I think it was a reasonable thing that they asked that, because that's, until then, they hadn't heard anything different. It seemed as though this man probably sinned, or maybe his parents sinned, and it seemed like the wrath of God came on. The wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. So this is what they said. And Jesus said, look, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. To me, that's like Jesus saying, look, I didn't come just to cause this man to be born blind because of sin. I didn't come just to put wrath on him. I came that even in the darkness that he's in, that he could have life. He could see. That's why I came. It's for the glory of God. This is why this is happening. So you take this in the circumstance, right? Every one of us is in a different circumstance where maybe there's some difficult. Maybe it's a financial thing, right? Maybe it's a struggle, a personal relationship struggle. Maybe it's an inward battle. Why is it happening? We could say, you know, why is this happening, Lord? Is it because of this, or is it because of this? Is this the reason, or is this the reason? But how does Jesus look at it? Did he come into the world so he could say, yeah, this is the reason that it's time to judge. I'm coming to judge. That's not the reason why. He came that he could open the eyes. He came that he could bring life. He came that the works of God could be displayed in every situation. We look at a blind man and say, this is terrible. Jesus says, this is an opportunity. The works of God are coming through this. And so he said, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He said, I am now light. This man is blind, but I am coming to give him light. That's how he saw this man. You see how the disciples, they saw it, they said, who sinned? What was their heart? Where was their heart at? Jesus saw it, he said, I am the light of the world. That's how he saw it. He saw the man, he spat onto the ground. He made clay with his spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. Said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated is sent. And so he went away and he washed, and he came back seeing. This is a man who received the words of Jesus. As a blind man, Jesus spit, put it on his eye. This man didn't say, what do you mean? Why should I go here? Why should I do this? He didn't question Jesus at all here. We see kind of the opposite with Naaman when he had questioned, you know, the prophet. In those days when he was wanting to be healed, he didn't understand. But this man, he just went away. No questions. He could just receive it. Like a child, he could receive that. And when he came back, his eyes were open. That was the works of God, the glory of God right there. The neighbors, therefore, who had previously saw him as a beggar, were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, is this he? Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept on saying, I am the one. Man, the guy would have been so full of joy. It's me. You can't help it. What happened? What did he do? He received the light. He believed what Jesus said. He went and did what Jesus said. And he had the joy. And he was telling people, I'm the guy. It's me. He had a testimony. Just like that. He had a testimony. He came to the light. Therefore, they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man who's called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed and receive sight. He believed. It's like a baptism. You know, when we say we believe in Jesus, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is Lord, you may be baptized. We believe, we repent, we go, we get dunked, we wash, we say, I'm dead to my old man, and we got the joy of the Lord. This is what happened to this man. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. You know, It's like that. It's like Jesus comes to us and we don't know. It's like the wind. We can't see. But we know he's there. We know he's done something. And they brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. It's interesting that these men, well, let's bring him to the religious people. They'll be able to discern the situation. So they brought him to the religious people to discern what had happened. And now it was the Sabbath when these things took place, where Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes. And again, therefore, the Pharisees also were asking him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. It is amazing. Even such a wonderful work of God could cause a division. But we can see the Lord testing the hearts here. The Lord exposing the jealousies. The Lord exposing the envy and the pride and all these things. And those who were quick to find some kind of scripture, some kind of law to judge what Jesus had just done. And they said, therefore, to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he's opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews, therefore, did not believe it of him that he had been blind and he had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. And they questioned them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we still do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he shall speak for himself. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Now it's interesting here, we see his very parents, and the light of God is now shining right on them. Isn't it a test? Here's their son. You think they would be so glad and say, whoever this man is, I want to get to know this man. But yeah, we see that their desire for esteem and reputation from men, those who are so-called religious people of the Jews, they were more concerned about what they thought than about coming to the light of Jesus, knowing Jesus Christ. And their motives were exposed, and they can't turn away from the light here. They didn't come to the truth. They were ashamed of Jesus. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. And so a second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God, for we know that this man is a sinner. Therefore he answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that where I was blind, I now see. That there is just the confession. That there is just saying, I was a slave of sin, but I know that Jesus set me free. See, this man was not ashamed to confess that. Not ashamed to confess. They said therefore to him, what did he do to you? How did you open your eyes? We're trying to figure it out. This is a supernatural experience. This is like born again. It's like saying, how do you get born again? Jesus put the mud on my eyes. He showed me that I was like a blind man. I accepted it. Yes, I can't see. The mud on the eyes, it's like an anointing, but it also symbolizes that we're blinded because of our sin. We're in sin. We can't see. The veil is removed in Christ. And when he believed in Jesus, and what Jesus told him, it's like the veil was removed. He said, I told you already, and you did not listen. You see how their ears couldn't hear the truth? Because they didn't love the truth. And so they got a delusion. So the ones who were seeing at that time, because they didn't love the truth, and even this man was testifying of Jesus, saying this is what he's done, they were going to become blind. These very people that did not love the truth, that could see with their own eyes, that were about to become blind, they didn't know it. He said, you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? He said, you do not want to become his disciples too, do you? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. Why? Why would it be that way, that Jesus Christ standing right there, they wouldn't receive him? Now, this is the very thing that it says in John 1. He came to them, they wouldn't receive him because of there was a desire for reputation in them, their desire for honor of men, a praise of men. They would rather be called disciples of Moses than a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's a grave error. That's when blindness comes. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he's from. And the man answered and said to him, well, here is an amazing thing. You do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. What kind of respect did this man have for these Jews, for these religious people? That they couldn't help him. All they could do was judge. But they couldn't help him, and yet it was Jesus who opened his eyes. Yet they had no answers. And so he said, We know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. It seemed like this blind man had some sense to him. He had a little bit of knowledge in himself that God doesn't listen to the prayers of sinners. It says that in the Proverbs. Yet if someone fears God and does his will, he knew that God hears him. And he just had faith, simple faith. And it seemed like this man that had this little mustard seed of faith received something from Jesus that glorified him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The answer said to him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us? Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And they put him out. They rejected him. They showed their partiality, they rejected him in their spiritual pride, and judged him and condemned him. Yet Jesus was there to bring life to this blind man, and yet those men themselves were being judged. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, we see the compassion of Jesus. He wasn't interested in all these other people at that point. He just wanted to find that one man, because he had no fellowship now. All the Jews had cast him out, but yet there was wonderful fellowship waiting for him, and it was fellowship with Jesus himself. And he asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? That's an amazing heart. Who is he? I just want to believe in him. I see such a humble heart, just a heart to know Jesus. Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. This is how Jesus would reveal himself to us if we would come to him that way. If we would come and say, Lord, show me, Lord. I just want to see, Lord. Is there anything in my life? Sometimes I have to pray, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. Show me, is there any area in my life where I am deceived? I want to see it, Lord. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to stand on that day knowing that there was something in my life because of my own pride that I couldn't see. Come to Jesus that way. He'll come to you and say, you have seen Jesus. It's the one who's talking with you now. I'm the one. And he'll come and he'll reveal himself. I believe in a greater way. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he began to worship him. And Jesus said, this is when he said these words, for judgment I came into this world. This is the context. The judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, this man being one of them. And that those who see may become blind. Those are all the others who rejected this man. And when the Pharisees who were with him, they heard these things that were said to him, they said, we are not blind too, are we? Do you see how they were offended by the light? That was their pride. They were offended because Jesus spoke the word of God, which was true, not to see them condemned, but to tell them, this is your choosing, your condemnation, because you will not confess. And he said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say, we see, he said, your sins now remain. And that is the stumbling block or the stone of rock of offense. When Jesus spoke, it was a rock of offense to them because they would not confess that maybe they were wrong. Maybe they couldn't see. That's salvation for us. When we say, Lord, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I can't see. I don't want to be blinded, Lord. It's a safe prayer. And we know that the passage after this speaks about the hirelings and the true shepherd and the false shepherd. And he was speaking that right in context when these Pharisees were around them, who were the religious leaders, and all the people are wondering, you know, what's going on? And he said, look, there's all who came before me, he told them right there, the thieves and robbers. They're trying to come in another way in their pride, but they're not coming through the gate. They're not coming to the light. And that's when he spoke these things. He said, the true shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And Jesus was laying his life down for one blind man who people were rejecting and not be able to receive. He was concerned about the one, and he opened his eyes and gave him life. At the same time, those who were around were being condemned because the light was shining on them and they weren't accepting it. We move over to John chapter 12, and we see now more clearly how Jesus explained this. Let's go back and read the context. Let's read verse 30, John 12, 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. He knew that when the Father spoke in that hour, the multitude had heard the voice from heaven. And Jesus said, that voice wasn't for me, it was for you to know, as a witness for you, to know the truth. It testified that Jesus was the Son of God, yet they we're not receiving it. And he says, this is for you. But he said, verse 31, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Something happened there when Jesus spoke. He said judgment was now coming. In that hour, it was about to come. And he said, he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. And the multitude therefore answered and said, we have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And Jesus therefore said, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light. When Jesus was there, they had an opportunity to hear the truth. And there was an hour when he was leaving. And sometimes the Lord brings situations in our life where we have an opportunity where the light is shining and we can overcome it. We can say, come to the light. And that passes by and then we reap the consequence of that. But he may come again and bring us to another circumstance where his light is shining. And this is what he says. He says, while you have the light, walk in the light, that the darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. The end of that is confusion. When we don't come to the light, we end up confused, not understanding. Why is this happening? We become blind. We don't know where we're going. But we don't always have to understand, like Abraham, where the end of it is, but we can have a faith where we know in our hearts we're following Christ. That's the difference. It's not about, I know where I'm going. Naturally, I can see all my steps. No, it's about having the light inside where we know the will of God. We know our desire is to do his will. And we have the light as a lamp, like a word shining. And we're taking steps by faith. But when we've got total delusion, we're confused, we don't understand, then, Lord, I want to come to light. I don't want to be blind. He said, while you have the light, verse 36, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. You see how it's like he came, he spoke, the light shone, and then he went away. And they had a moment to think about those things. They had a moment to think about what he spoke. With the light that they saw. It says, but though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. Everything he did, every word he spoke, and every sign he did was that they would believe in him. It wasn't just for a sign he blessed them, but it was that they would believe. That the words of Isaiah and the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and I heal them. Why couldn't they believe? They didn't want to come to the light. And so he blinded their eyes because they said they can see. He hardened their hearts because they didn't want to know the truth. Lest they be converted, lest they turn and say, maybe, Lord, I'm wrong. Maybe I've sinned. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Even Isaiah could say, Lord, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. When the light shone on Isaiah, Isaiah was immediately there. When he saw the light, he said, I'm the one. I'm guilty. Unclean lips. It's me. And then the Lord was immediately there to touch the coolest lips and say, now you have no sin. He cleansed them away immediately. He said, your sin is forgiven. Even Isaiah, we see that. A great prophet, yet he could humble himself in the light of God. That shows his humility. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. That is a dangerous area. We might believe in him, but if we seek approval of men in any area, we become blinded. The Lord allows us to become blinded. And Jesus cried out and said, now this is the time when he cried out, when he saw these things. He was grieved. He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in the him who sent me. He who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. He wasn't coming of himself. He wasn't speaking of himself. He was saying, I'm coming on behalf of my Father. I am just obeying my Father. I'm coming on the light. I speak in representation of my Father. If you believe me, I'm not coming like a man. Believe in me. Come with me. He's saying, believe in me because I come in my Father's name. I desire to obey my Father. Obey me also as I obey my Father. I have come as light into the world that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness, may not remain blind if we believe in him. If anyone hears my sayings and he does not keep them, I do not judge him. Now here we see the answer to my question in the beginning, what says, when Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Then he said in John 9, for this reason I came, to judge the world. Now we can understand it in the light of the scripture. Jesus said, if anyone hears my sayings when I speak, and if he doesn't keep them, I don't judge him. So brothers, we need to learn what that means. When we come and we're discipling other brothers and we're learning and we bring the word, if we speak the word of God, we can speak the word of God to someone. We can share the light just as Jesus did. But it's not for us to judge them if they don't receive those words. We can exhort them, correct them. We want to point them to Jesus, to the light. We want them to come and receive the light, but they have to choose. They have to choose by faith of themselves to receive the light or not to receive the light. When they didn't receive it, Jesus, he walked away. He went to the ones who found the light, came to the light, he went and found them. He said, I don't judge. He said, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save. This is what made Jesus' ministry effective and perfect in the will of God, that when he spoke to bring salvation. He didn't judge, but he knew his words would judge. He knew the Father would allow his word to bring the right judgment at the right time. And he said, he who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has one who judges him. And this is where the judgment comes. It is the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So to me, when I read that, I say, Lord, I don't want to judge before your word has given that time to judge in the last day. The Lord was patient. He spoke the words. They were difficult words to those who didn't want to receive them, but to those who received them, they were words of eternal life. But he came always that they would, if he had to rebuke, had to correct, if he had to speak the truth, it was that they would see, maybe I am blind. That they would come to him and repent. But he knew that if they didn't receive him, that's okay. He said, if you reject me, he said, you have one who judges you. You don't receive my words, it's the word that you heard. It's going to judge you in the last day. I'm here that if you would come to me today, you could be free. If your heart would turn, lest your heart be turned, lest your eyes see, lest your hearts return. He said, verse 49, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but my Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. It's when we speak on our own initiative that we end up judging. I think that's why he said this. He's saying, if I spoke of myself, then I would have my own motives, I had my own ambition, and I would be drawing you after myself. But if I only speak what the Father gives me to speak, what to say, then if you reject that, you reject the Father. But if you receive it, it is eternal life. And that's what he said in verse 50. I know that his commandment, the words that I speak, are eternal life. Those words that he spoke to Nicodemus, he said, you've got to be born again. You've got to come to the light. For him, it was eternal life. That's why he spoke them. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. And, you know, with Nicodemus, he didn't seem to come quickly to Jesus. We know his story, that he came and he was kind of thinking, this must be a man of God. Yet Jesus said difficult, hard words, yet they were challenging words, and he could come to light. But we see the patience of Jesus. Later on, when he was being crucified and with the body, we see Nicodemus showing up. It seemed like the Lord is working in his heart. He came in the night, in the darkness. You know, it was hard for him. It's a lot of pride, probably, that he had to die to. He had to count the cost. Eventually, we see him coming to the light in the end. And that's why he came. That's why Jesus spoke to him, that he could come and receive the light. That's how we need to come to Jesus, and that's how we need to draw others to Christ. In the same way, speaking the word of life and saying, you can receive it or not. And we pray and we hope that they come. I don't know how many times Jesus talked to Nicodemus. Probably just lived his life. After that time, he probably just shared the gospel, did what the Father asked him to do, bore the fruit of the Spirit. Nicodemus probably was watching, counting to see, is this man really from God? He was part of the religious group, you know. He had a lot of honor, and one day he had to decide, you know what? This man is true. And he broke away and he humbled himself. Didn't care what others thought. He followed after Jesus because he accepted the light. Amen.